Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the gospel of the glory of God and the glory of Christ. Chapter 16. The glory of him who takes away the first and establishes the second. Topic C. The set of the main aspects that are involved with what is called a priesthood. As we begin to see that the so-called first to be taken away and the second to be established are closely and directly associated with what is also called as a priesthood, we can also see that a whole range of new points is introduced so that we may grow in the understanding of what comes to be, respectively, the very priesthood to which the scriptures of the book of Hebrews refer. Even before knowing what the first and the second are, it is necessary to understand what are the global aspects of the theme that they deal with and which is also approached under the term priesthood. When there is not a minimum understanding of what the scriptures teach us globally about what comes to be called as a priesthood, it is also complicated to attain a minimally adequate understanding of what happens to be the so-called first priesthood and the second priesthood. And in turn, the term priesthood, speaking in a very generic, concise, and simplified way, basically means the office, function and services, to be performed by one or more priests. Therefore, since the term priesthood is practically inseparable from what a priest is and what he or she does, the exposure of what priesthood is needs, then, to move on to exposing the functional position of priests and the services that are assigned to them. There is no way to separate the priesthood from the demand for priests, and there is no way to have priests without these being associated with a type of priesthood. The word priesthood, as well as the words derived from it as priest, priestly, and sacerdotal, present high relevance in the scriptures, and it is basically around them that an expressive part of the book of Hebrews is structured. At several points in the book of Hebrews, parts of these words are intertwined and almost express the meaning of the other, as exemplified below. Hebrews 7:11. Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek, and not be called according to the order of Aaron? Nevertheless, when we begin to think about the position of a priest and the services that can be attributed to him or her, we start to face yet another matter, which is the need for the position of priests and the services to be assigned to them also to be beforehand defined and pre-established, at the risk that a specific priesthood will not have an identity of how or what it is composed. Thus, for a priesthood to function, it is necessary that one or more priests become established. However, to know the position and services that are expected of one or more priests, which is the priestly or sacerdotal office, it is necessary first to present the concept and the aimed functioning of the priesthood or the priestly office, which, in turn, is established by a law or a set of definitions about it and that rules the operation of this office. In other words, every priesthood needs a set of instructions, called as the law of the priesthood, that defines the office of those who will come to work or operate in that priesthood as priests, and where this law might be written formally or be based on statements or promises expressed and accepted by the one or those who will operate in the respective priesthood. Hebrews 7:28. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. Whether through formally written law or recognized declarations, a priesthood is always associated with a set of instructions, no matter how strong or weak it might be. It is this set that, 1, defines the priesthood, that, 2, determines who and how are the priests who are called to carry out the priesthood in reference, and it also, 3, defines the manner and the structure through which the priests are called to operate in that priesthood. Understanding that a priesthood has a law or set of instructions associated with it and that defines it, and that a priesthood is the expression of services that priests perform under this law or set of instructions, is the initial knowledge that is indispensable for the continuity of understanding of the other aspect of what makes up a priesthood. Whether it is a law formally written in a compendium of rules or an informal law or that has its parameters based on recognized declarations and promises, every priesthood is associated with a set of aspects that define it. Thus, continuing in the way of what has been said in the last paragraphs, we also find in the book of Hebrews one of the texts that most objectively and, at the same time, most richly offers us a teaching of what is globally involved in any priesthood, as we can see below. Hebrews 7, 12. For the priesthood being changed, of necessity there is also a change of the law. The content that this last text exposed above shows us is of immeasurable richness and meaning, and which should never be neglected or seen in a merely superficial way. When the last text in reference states unequivocally and globally that any exchange of a priesthood also implies in an exchange of the law, it confirms what was exposed in the introduction of this topic. The text of Hebrews 7, verse 12, shows us that each type of priesthood is different from other priesthoods and, therefore, also unique concerning the other priesthoods precisely because each priesthood has its own law or set of declarations that rule its functioning and, above all, the functioning of the office of the priests around which the entire priesthood manifests itself or proposes to operate. Still, in other words, or to insist a little more on the conceptual approach, for there to be a priesthood, the formally written law or the informal or verbally known law associated with a priesthood needs to define or establish. 1. What type of priests will perform the priestly or sacerdotal activities of the respective priesthood? 2. How these priests are called, chosen, or appointed? 3. What the priestly or sacerdotal activities to be carried out are? 4. What the criteria for carrying out the priestly activities of the respective priesthood are. Therefore, although each type of priesthood has its own law or its own set of parameters that define how this priesthood aims to operate, it is very significant to understand the global concept that all priesthoods are associated with a law or a set of parameters that define them, for without this understanding, many people end up giving undue space to types of priesthood that do not really act in their favor. Because they do not know the general concept that the first type of priesthood is very different from the second type of priesthood mentioned in the book of Hebrews. Or that each of them has its own definitions and parameters that are pertinent to it, many people do not reach the understanding of this distinction between the two and that they are not compatible with each other, under any circumstances, because also the aspects that define them are widely different and divergent already from their fundamental points. On the other hand, after understanding that all types of priesthoods, in one way or another, end up being associated with the priests connected to them and with a set of principles that aim to designate the position of the priests and the services they should carry out, also known as the law associated with the priesthood, it seems to us that it is easier to advance to know more details about what a specific type of priesthood proposes due to its set of guidelines or its law. When we get to the point of realizing that all types of priesthoods are associated in some way with a more detailed set of what is aimed to be accomplished through their priests, the task of separating what is different between them may also be very enriched and at the same time facilitated. As much as many people want to equate the first type of priesthood with the second type of priesthood mentioned in the book of Hebrews, when an individual becomes aware that each of them has a very different set of parameters, also the attempts to improperly equate these two types of priesthoods become much more evident, and, therefore, they can be more easily discerned and rejected. Through the detailed knowledge of the office of only one specific type of priesthood, it is possible to know several characteristics of this priesthood. However, without an understanding that this particular priesthood is only truly exposed in the light of the differences in its law or set of parameters compared to other types of priesthoods, the general understanding of what a specific priesthood is will tend to become very impaired, limited, and even subject to the risk of being highly distorted. In other words, a specific type of priesthood does not necessarily define what the broader concept of a priesthood is, because depending on the law or the parameters of a particular kind of priesthood, the concept of this specific type may pass an idea that does not apply to what is defined by another kind of priesthood. When a person, for example, thinks that what all priests do or should do is according to the model of some specific priesthood, and in which most people are not directly participating in the priestly service because in this model it is said that some people are especially called to be priests and others are not, this person does not have a well-adjusted global concept of priesthood. But a definition of only one particular kind of priesthood and only one model of office or services of priests according to this same type. Thus, the knowledge of what comes to be a priesthood only from the perspective of some kind that resembles the first type of priesthood mentioned in Hebrews. Or, on the other side, the lack of a broader understanding of what is generally associated with the second type of priesthood exposed in the same book of Hebrews, may lead a person to become much more vulnerable to fall into the misconception that one kind of priesthood may serve as a reference model of the structure and understanding of the general concept of priesthood or the second type of priesthood. If the global concepts of what characterizes a priestly office are not known and understood primarily from the perspective of the second type of priesthood, people may become subject to the lack of discernment and the acceptance of inappropriate and undue priesthood proposals that are around them. And this happens because they do not realize that a specific proposition made to them may indeed be referring to a very limited view of what the more general concept of priesthood encompasses. Without knowledge of the global concepts of what constitutes a priesthood according to the second type of priesthood mentioned in the scriptures, comparisons between different priesthoods become profoundly impaired, as well as the knowledge and discernment of the scriptures. If in the natural relationships that people establish with each other, throughout their lives, there is already a great need to understand some global aspects of the dynamics that exist in the enormity of issues to be dealt with daily, how much more this need for comparison of some general concepts will also not be present in the relationship of each human being regarding one's spiritual relationships and what is called as priesthood. And once this mention is made that general knowledge about what priesthood is can indeed contribute much to a person's life, we will then try to move on to what comes to be a priestly service to be performed by a priest, but still aiming to see a more global definition about it. Therefore, speaking more generally, a priesthood, that is, the position and the services of a priest, is the set that encompasses the structure, position, means, and actions performed by a human being to present oneself before what one considers to be a deity and whose presentation one performs for oneself or on behalf of others. The priesthood is the means to perform functions or services directed, always, by a person to that or to whom one considers a deity and concerning which the person who performs the functions or services is also called a priest. Still, in other words, the priesthood in a generic way encompasses the services or functions of priests placed as the agents to present themselves to that or to whom they, or those they represent, consider as divinity and with what or with whom they intend to establish a relationship to present their causes in the expectation of also obtaining answers for themselves or for those they represent. For example, concerning God, even if a person is not aware of being using a priesthood and a priest, no one can approach God without using an established priestly form and without the person going through a priestly service and a priest, even him or her having the possibility to be the priest of oneself. On the other hand, the mere fact that someone uses some form or type of priesthood also does not automatically imply that God will accept the kind of priesthood and the priest that someone has chosen to present oneself to the Lord or for someone to represent him or her before God. Considering that the restoration of fellowship with God is, 1, what the Lord Jesus Christ calls as eternal life, 2, that fellowship with the Lord is the greatest gift that a person can receive in his or her entire existence, and, 3, that the priesthood is the means by which a person can properly relate to God, understanding what constitutes an appropriate priesthood before God, or which is according to the Lord's will, becomes one of the most vital aspects that a person can achieve or receive throughout his or her entire life. What the scriptures call as a priesthood has a primary position in determining the other central aspects of people's lives, for it is from the definition of the type of priesthood that a person adopts that most of the main aspects concerning his or her life also are defined. Therefore, the general concept of what is a priesthood aims to collaborate so that people may know the essential condition that this theme represents for their lives, but also, or at the same time, so that they may know that not every type of priesthood proposed to them is automatically an adequate, a good, or a beneficial type of priestly or sacerdotal service. In the world, there is a multitude of priesthood propositions or priestly offices that are in disagreement with what the scriptures present regarding the second type of priesthood mentioned in the books of Hebrews, which, therefore, need to be discerned appropriately because of the significant damage that these may cause not only for the present time but also, and especially, for the eternal time of the life of those who associate with them. Thus, when the general concepts of the priesthood are known firmly or appropriately according to the second type of priesthood exposed in the book of Hebrews, even the phrases that people want to present with an unpretentious tone and appearance concerning priestly life can be discerned under a much more precise level of understanding. When, for instance, a person says that it doesn't matter the manner or the way in which a person seeks God, as long as one seeks Him, one is not, in reality, proposing just some unpretentious thought, no matter how much one wants to imply that a phrase like this is a mere expression of freedom and has no major effect on the lives of people who adopt similar principles. A phrase that says that it doesn't matter the manner or the way in which a person seeks God, as long as one seeks Him, in reality is an objective proposition of the attempt to introduce a specific type of priesthood and that contains the basic elements of what priesthood is in the global concept of the term. For despite that this proposal might seem to be unpretentious and informal, it expresses a proposition of ideas and conduct of the relationship of people with divinity. A phrase like the example that it doesn't matter the manner or the way in which a person seeks God, as long as one seeks Him, besides not being unpretentious, is a direct proposition of priesthood and it is still a proposition of a type of priesthood which is even contrary to any other kind of priesthood that proposes that the search for God and the relationship with the Lord have firmly established principles. A phrase like the one we are using as an example in the last paragraphs is the proposition of a type of priesthood where the main rule is that each individual can make his or her search for God in the way one wants to do or in any way one thinks it is right to do. The proposition of the type of priesthood that the last sentence in reference seeks to introduce is a proposition of a priesthood that has an informal law that says that each person can create one's own laws, rules, and parameters to seek God, trying, with this, also to propose that any kind of priesthood could be valid before the eternal Lord. A phrase like the one exemplified in these last paragraphs is not just a simple or meaningless sentence or a mere proposition thrown in the wind. It is a statement that contains sufficient concepts, definitions, proposals, and elements to associate it with the global term of priesthood even if people want to pass the idea that the phrase in reference is not intended to match what could be considered as another peculiar proposition of a type of priesthood. Because the general concept of the priesthood refers to a relationship with that or with what a person considers to be a deity for him or her, being the case of sometimes consider even one's fellow man or oneself as such, any proposition or definition that proposes a path or a way in which this relationship could supposedly be established is a proposition of what generically speaking is called as a priesthood. The mere contempt, disinterest, or demonstration of not wanting to know about topics related to what a priesthood generically comes to be, does not guarantee that an individual is not involved in some kind of priesthood, because any action that a person performs under hope or belief in an expectation of obtaining through this hope or confidence what is necessary for life, whether natural, spiritual, or eternal, already causes a person to be involved with the general concept of priesthood. Passive disregard or active contempt for understanding what priesthood generally is and even for what represents the general concept of the laws of each priesthood does not constitute a guarantee that a person will position oneself correctly concerning the types of priesthoods that are around him or her. On the contrary, ignorance or contempt puts a person even more at risk of being associated with a kind of priesthood that is incomplete, invalid, useless, and damaging. On the other hand, as a person begins to grow in the understanding of what kind of relationship a priesthood proposes to attend or fulfill, that priesthood is also constituted by the law or parameters that are associated with it, and that each priesthood acts through priests that are inherent to it, a significant part of the knowledge of the main aspects about the priesthood is already beginning to be paved to advance towards a more complete or appropriate understanding of this theme.